Informal Discussions with the Jansu Chen in India, October 2007. Recorded and edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Sarah, Nina, Maeve, Anne, Jonathan, and Tom.
Continuity, but also impermanence. Is there a prescribed length of time for, say, something, for any rupa? Because it seems like people from after the Buddha's time paid respect to the relic, and now we pay respect to the relic. So is there any notion of how long a particular rupa is in there?
One dies and the bone, how long will it go? The bones of the body, how long?
So that determines, okay, so there is a, like, the nature of the rupa, the nature of the
rupa. There must be born, how long will it last, usually?
Okay, so the as long as the bone lasts, uh-huh, it seems to last, but of course it is not lasting, it is rising and falling away. That's a difficult notion to grasp.
About the rupas of the relic?
Yes, yes, yes. That seem to persist over time, you know. That, yes. Impression of continuity.
Same for nama.
Perhaps, dare I say, easier to grasp the concept of nama not persisting, just in terms of the rupa of the relic we are seeing 2,000 years later.
Continuing on the question about Jayati, partly I was asking for Nina because she had some concerns about this term and she thought it might be too technical for other people yesterday, but why don't you...
Dana Pachaya and Patana for Akusala Chitta. Akusala Chitta has also Dana Pachaya. According to Patana, jhana, pachaya.
What are jhana? Jetasikas with jhana?
Dhaka, vichara, and so on.
So,
this
akusala citta.
And then it's jhana, pachaya.
Certainly. Yeah. Whenever vitaka arises, it must be jhana, pachaya.
But then it's difficult to translate it as burning, the aspect of burning.
Not just burning, because we have to understand the characteristic of vitakka.
That's right.
When it's akusala, mm-hmm, and when it is kusala, or if you like burning, it burns up the kusala.
Oh, in that way. That's another aspect. Do you like that?
I don't mind what term, but I think that there should be the understanding of any object. Otherwise, we think in terms of vitakka and so forth.
Yeah.
In fact, one of the jhana jetasikas is an akusala jetasika.
Vitaka, vichara, piti, sukha, and the vedana jhana pachaya.
If you like to steal, you need the jhana factor also.
Isn't there one that is dominasa?
Yeah, vedana must be.
I see, yeah.
Vitaka,
jhana pachaya.
Yeah, pachaya, yeah. So can you say in that case the meaning of jhana is maybe thinking closely?
It depends on, can you make vitakka be vichara? They are different.
No, they are different.
So when we understand the function, the characteristic of vitakka, that function, that characteristic is jhana pachaya.
Jhana pachaya, yeah. And then in the commentary about monks here at the trees meditate or contemplate, they translate, you know. But then the commentary says there are two kinds of jhana, jhana of the kamatana of samatha and jhana of the sri lakana. You know the
kind.
Yeah. So in that case, would you say that it's burning only, or...
Do you have to keep the word burning all the time? No. When it's there,
yeah.
As jhana pataya, because how many sikkhas are jhana pataya, that's all.
I think the famous question is, well, how do we understand?
Understand jhana is jhana.
What is the description of jhana pataya?
Is there only one characteristic, one function, one word, or many words for vitakka?
Vitakka, yeah.
To understand that vitakka is
many words are the different genesis.
Why just burn all the time?
This is clear.
And when we read this about telling the monks or telling Ananda, oh, over there is the roots of the tree, go and jayati, which we know refers to develop samatha and vipassana, how would you translate jayati there?
It's translated already, the same, but one is verb, another is not verb.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And when it's verb, you would just contemplate or develop understanding?
No, because I don't know Pali term. But whenever there is the understanding, we don't mind what term it is. Yeah. Otherwise, we get stuck with this, what is it by this word, but actually it's the characteristic of our reality.
No, I want to be so careful when I revise my conditions, Pachaya, that I don't make any mistake. See?
Can we know all and everything and every word and every meaning, or we learn to understand that there is no self?
Yes. That's the most important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because in the Big Pali English Dictionary, it talks about these two roots of the word jhana, to burn, jhana, to contemplate. But every time I mention these two, which is what Nina has used in her conditions, you've said, no, it's just the meaning of jhana derived from the meaning of jayati, to burn. And our friend at the Mulaniti, when he looked at Pali, he said also just one root to burn. So this is why there is some confusion, and Nina's wondering whether we can use
kusala, it burns akusala. When it's akusala, it burns kusala. If you keep, we want to keep that word burning.
But we don't have to. No?
When it refers to the 38 or the 40 objects and some of them, then it became burning the attachment.
We heard it about burning. We don't have to use the word all the time, I think. We don't have to use the word all the time. It depends.
Anything else from this morning? You said there were several points you wished to get clarified. Anything else you wish to have?
I talked with Anne about visible object and what visible object is, and that it is not focusing on this or that color. And if you try to find out, it is already a loba and no panya. And only when there is sati, there can be conditions for sati arising. And then only then you understand what it is.
That would be the same for awareness as well, and that would be the same for awareness of nama and rupa.
Yeah.
The more you try to speculate
or define it.
Yeah. It's lopa, looking for it, and a self looking for it. You see that?
So what we did all morning was mostly with lopa, probably.
Probably.
But Kusucha said also it can be moments with sada to understand, intellectual understanding. But in between the loba comes.
Yes.
This mix always.
Sada is confidence.
Confidence in kusala, yeah. It was a very good discussion.
Well, I suppose it comes under the general heading of wanting to have more understanding.
Yes. Yes.
And so trying to find out more about what physical object is, or what sound.
Yeah, yeah. So I said to Anne, we talked about it for years already, also with Prada Madaro, what it is.
Yes, we had a good discussion.
And the only answer is, what appears to eyes? That is visible object. It appears. Mm-hmm. So on our list, we had our friend who wanted a red color and green color or something, and that would be visible object.
I read that out, that description out that the friend wrote about the red and green disc. And when I read it out, Khunsu Chin's comment was beginning to end wrong view. That was her comment.
Oh.
From beginning to end.
Poor man.
It's interesting because before we're interested in the Dharma, of course there's attachment to lots of objects, but no attachment to, oh, trying to understand different realities or something like that. And then people hear about the Dharma, and then like this example Nina gave that she mentioned to you this morning, having heard the Dharma, then people are trying to pinpoint about colours or something like this, but without hearing the Dharma there wouldn't be this kind of attachment. So trying to pinpoint or trying to understand it. I don't think someone who
feels that Lopa always follow you all the time to anywhere, any subject, anything.
So it doesn't matter it's Dharma or anything, the tendency to attached will be there.
Not knowing that it's there.
But no. Even when discussing Dhamma.
Seeing? Oh no, seeing now. While one is discussing Dhamma.
See it.
See who?
See who? Colors. Color.
Really? You see colors.
No one there?
They're thinking. People.
Is that the way to understand visible object?
Yes, that you know the difference.
By?
First by reasoning, intellectual. How else?
For salati.
This is for... It's sugar. Sugar?
Yes.
Oh, that is good, yes.
So Nina, when you told me that as soon, you know, what we were, well, as soon as we try to figure out what color is, there is attachment
already,
right? And in the case of the kind of discussion we had this morning, we're talking about attachment to not to color so much as to the idea of wanting to know.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think that visual object appears in all one's life, but no understanding. So one tries to think about visible object instead of understanding moment of understanding it just little by little. For example, we can just simply say, being aware of reality right now, and some would say so many realities right now, and they think about how can there be awareness, see? Because there are so many things, it means that there is no awareness and no understanding that awareness is anatta. So there's the self who think, how can awareness arise and be aware because there are so many realities? But whenever awareness arises, it is aware. It performs the function of being aware. And when it arises, it is aware. And awareness doesn't last like people and things, table and fruit at all. It's only a very short moment of beginning to, we may say, attend to the visible object very shortly. That it's a reality. Because it's not I who would like to have it for a long time and try so hard to have it more time than just a flash of, just begin to understand.
I can lie.
And one knows that the moment of awareness itself, because it doesn't last long at all, but there is even a flash of awareness itself. And by understanding this, even right now, awareness which is aware of visible object as just a reality, like hardness a reality, so visible object is just a reality, sound is just a reality. And then one becomes to understand that it has to be the same. Visible object must be as short and as normal or usual, like hardness and sound and everything. But usually one is so interested in what is there, instead of being aware, realizes that it's only a reality, it's visible. And when Panya begins to become used to visible object, one pay attention less to the story and the situation, because now right understanding begin to understand visible object. It's just a matter of time and the development of understanding how much there is ignorance from time to time, but very less understanding. So it needs parami, khanti, courageous. To whenever it arises, it's like the other doorway, exactly. But since one pay attention too much to whatever it is, so at that moment there is attachment already, unknowingly. Without panya, one cannot see that attachment is there all the time, from seeing to hearing to thinking. So panya develops gradually, very gradually.
And it doesn't really matter how gradually.
That is lopa again. Because one thing of lopa when there is such idea. What about the lopa which follows seeing and hearing? Instantly, rapidly. That's why it hinders the understanding of visible object as just a reality, which is seen only.
So the lopa that hinders the understanding, if we think of the hindrances, for example, is the lopa that's attached to having more understanding.
As Panya does know yet about the characteristic of visible object, how can there be understanding of visible object when there is no awareness? But by knowing that now, is there any understanding of visible object, or just try to have it? This is different. Because when it's visible object, it has to be like the other doorway, exactly as short as that. No one, no being. And if there is attachment to wanting to know, it's the hindrance again.
But now discussing Dhamma, and why do we discuss Dhamma to have more understanding?
Mm-hmm.
Is that lopa?
Again. Lopa can be known when awareness is aware of it. Otherwise, how can we say it's lopa or it's satta? See? They arise and fall away alternately, instantly. Even the titi, the wrong view, it is not that we know the characteristic of wrong view. We just say that there is wrong view, or there is attachment after seeing and hearing. But that cannot be object of understanding yet, because there is no awareness at all. So when there is awareness, it's the beginning of understanding. Very carefully. Otherwise, there's no way to eliminate the attachment at all. But by knowing that now there is talking about Dhamma, but there is also seeing and hearing. What after that? Right understanding or no understanding?
Usually,
no. So one can see one's own avijja more and better. Much more than we can expect.
Yesterday when you heard someone describing their wrong practice, and any time anyone describes their wrong practice, you take it quite seriously, in the sense you would really like to help and you really point out strongly the wrong view involved and how the wrong practice will take someone further and further away. And again, if someone hasn't heard the Dharma, they don't follow such a kind of wrong practice. But again, it seems when they've heard the Dharma, they're more likely to follow this kind of wrong practice. Do you have any comment about this? About two aspects, why it is when someone has heard the Dharma, they seem more inclined to follow a wrong practice. And
because
secondly,
they don't know what Dharma is at all.
So even though they've studied a lot of the teaching, still they don't know what
like
Dharma
chanting.
Is.
Okay, we chant a lot, but do we understand when we chant what it's about?
On this issue, Buddha, I believe, said something about a time when a monk should speak up, that it should be true, it should be factual, it should not cause upset to the other person. I can't remember the full, you may be able to help me with all of the things that the Buddha said about when is the right time to speak up. Could you comment on this, please?
If someone doesn't want to hear, would you like to speak to them about the truth?
No.
So it's not the right time.
I don't want to hear, it's okay to speak.
No.
If
opposite.
They don't want to hear, then it's
there's
the wrong
there's not
time.
Much, there's not much point.
No,
there's no point.
Correct. True. Okay.
So can you talk about chanting? Is it any different than speaking? I mean, is there something different in chanting?
I think that in the old day there is no book. Mm-hmm. So people think about how can he remember what he heard. That's the way to think about.
Sure,
with understanding. The most important thing is not without understanding, but has to be with understanding. Mm-hmm. Yeah, otherwise it's useless to be like parrots. Yeah?
We were at the temple this morning, and there was a lot of chanting Tibetan and Thai and some Korean. And for me, there was pleasant feeling.
Attachment? Oh, Saddha. Confidence.
Naturally attachment. But then from thinking about the attachment to that pleasant feeling. So I suppose chanting maybe has lost the original purpose of passing on the teachings, and now people often chant because it creates pleasant feeling. Maybe
is it useful to chant without understanding?
Oh, of course not. But just thinking of why it has lasted, it seems that I don't think I'm the only one that's attached to the pleasant feeling of chanting.
But presumably, like in that situation, it's blessing, thanks for
yes.
whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
For the dana that's been given, there's nothing wrong with that.
But you have to understand it. If it's just the sound, then you don't know the meaning.
It's the monks.
Right.
Chant in a language that presumably they understand.
Presumably, right. I mean, look at the Catholic Church when they used to chant or pray in Latin, and nobody really understood it.
Sometimes I think that people who study Dharma would like to know everything or to know more about this and that, but not knowing what Dharma is at all. And they forget. It's like reading anything.
And as you say, if they're not interested or don't want to hear, then one cannot help any. I had a conversation with Ajahn Suchin just while we were waiting for the bus to take us here this evening, and I asked that question that's always been bothering me. First of all, I thought I'd attack it sideways, and I said, what is the state of the arahat after death? And, well, I don't remember her words, but she basically said, there isn't any state. And so I talked a bit about how that's always really at my stage of understanding. It's always been really scary. I really would like to hear that there was something other than the fact that once we attain of what I'd call enlightenment, that's the end of everything. And I said to Ajahn, I wonder if it's not better just trying to make lots of merit so we continue
something continues but has very fortunate times. And I actually can't recall what she said to that, but I did say it was very frightening to me to imagine that that's what we're all headed for. But she seemed to understand that at my stage that's pretty normal. So just sort of keep on going.
Okay. So did you ask the question about the meaning of parinibbana?
No, I didn't, because I was getting all ready to go when other people spotted us and all came over.
I'll have to
ask that next time. But I'm getting there.
But the state of the arahant after parinibbana, you think there is a state, or what's scary?
Well,
I
did ask Ajahn, because you hear in a lot of other traditions that there's some continuation of something, even if it's not personal, even if it's not a self of any sort. But it just seems to me that Theravada are the main ones that teach lights out. That's it. Nothing more. And that's my understanding at the moment, and that's what I find really
scary.
Because I don't want it to be lights out at my point. I want to go to a nice heaven.
I don't think we have to worry about lights out for quite a while.
I know.
I just like to...
Maybe it's possible to get better for quite a while. Anyway, I'd better go back to my seat, the bus driver.
Did you have any chat with Nina as we said goodbye?
Just as we said goodbye, we discussed how everything we find important, all the people, the places, are just in this one moment of thinking. So the holy places, Buddhagaya, the candles, the monks chanting, just in a moment of thinking now, and then gone, just a dream. And at this moment, just seeing, which sees visible object. And I said no need to try to see different colors or count or find out anything about the visible object, just that which appears at this moment and then gone completely, one world at a time. Nina also mentioned to me how last night after dinner she and Lodovic went to pay their respects to Khunsu Chin, and Khunsu Chin reminded her that the only thing that's important is the development of understanding at this moment and the growth of detachment.